And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Good afternoon, nerds. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club. Today we are discussing Voyager Chapter 28, Virtue's Guardian. And I love the irony of this title. For some reason, I've just been noticing the titles more in Voyager, for some reason. But the irony that's involved with this chapter here, Jamie being the person who is... He asks Claire if, what am I, the guardian of his virtue, what's it called? He says, do I strike you so as the guardian of virtue? And the Fergus says, the wicked serpent. And I find it ironic only because Jamie, again, I know that the surprise is relatively ruined here, but just because of my knowledge of the show. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that Jamie is still technically, I guess, married to Leghair, and he is said a bunch of things to Claire, like, okay, I can be myself with you, I can tell you the truth of my heart, and yada yada. And while that is probably relatively true, the fact is, you know, he probably can talk to Claire more than anybody else on this planet, including Leary, he still cannot tell the full truth to Claire. So the irony does exist in that Jamie's virtue isn't all that perfect here. And Claire agrees, but then asks Jamie, well, what about him? And I just find this great. And she says, yeah, you haven't killed anyone, but do you want to? Like that, you know, that kind of deal. And then, of course, you know, him being the guardian of virtue just quickly disappears. I think it was Angela who asked me, why does young Ian bother me? I don't know. I think he's just an annoying character sometimes. Like the way, I don't know, just the way that he was talking to his dad. And I know he's a teenager, and when you're a teenager, you you test your limits and you test the boundaries of how far you can go and how much you can push your parents. But I also find it funny too that he was so quick to judge his dad for apparently coming to a whorehouse. And yet here he is being guided by Fergus, as Fergus had done with all of his older brothers, to go sleep with a working girl. And my recollection of the show is that it was a barmaid, right? Like it was a barmaid that Ian had a crush on. So I find that an odd choice to make for the show. Like, why change that? But I suppose they made it more wholesome by doing that. I'm not 100% sure why they would, but, you know, it's just funny, you know, it's just funny that he was so quick to down his dad, but now he's fully happy and willing to start, you know, doing his duty, if you will. And maybe Jamie allows it because, you know, Jamie, too, his virtue isn't all that perfect. Like he has, I don't care what anybody says, he has been lying to young Ian's dad. He's been lying to Ian about young Ian's whereabouts and what he's been doing. And the truth has come out. But let's not forget, though, that Ian has now also taken part in what is essentially an accidental death or murder, if you will. Ian has killed a man. And I do like Jamie's words where he's like, you know, if he was, you know, off with Mary, does that mean he's not worried about, Ian's headspace? Like, Ian's off doing his own thing, you know, and and Jamie does feel bad. Like, he essentially lied to young Ian about what it's like to kill a man and the mental game that it plays, and you know, prayer isn't, you know, the only thing that's going to fix it. So, you know, it is what it is.